All right, as promised, we're joined right now by a linebacker for the LA Chargers. He was the Chargers' second leading tackler with 75 total tackles. He was a two-time captain at Notre Dame, a National Football Foundation National Scholar Athlete Award recipient, the Werfel Trophy recipient, an academic All-American. He was the 130th pick in last year's draft. He's also hosting a three-part interview series called Hear Me Out on social media. Drew Tranquil is my guest. Drew, it's great to have you back. Now, Drew, you and I talked before the draft last year, and so much has changed since last April. Before I get into that, how are you and everybody around you doing during this most unusual time?
Hey, Jim. First off, thanks for having me on. You know, my family and I were doing well. My son actually just turned 1 year old, and we were able to celebrate him a little bit. We're back home in Fort Wayne, Indiana, visiting some family here for the 4th before, you know, I get back out there to Southern California and really lock it in here to prepare for training camp. But I appreciate you asking. We're doing well. How about yourself?
Really good, Drew. Thanks for asking. We're doing great. The family's great. Everybody's good. I want to ask you what that first year was like as a father.
It was a huge learning experience. My wife and I actually, when we got the news that we were being drafted out to Orange County, we moved out there. She was 38 weeks pregnant, so there were a lot of uncertainties. And you know, our family is primarily focused here in the Midwest, and we've got a few family members in Alabama, but nobody out on the West Coast. So we were out there, felt like we were up the creek without a paddle a little bit. But you know, we learned and we made do and kind of came together. But it was a huge learning experience. But he's a total joy, I'm sure. I don't know if you have any kids yourself, but learning experience, but he's awesome for sure.
You know, I do. I've got two sons, Drew. I've got one who started in college at Wisconsin this past fall, and I've got another one that just started high school. So I know exactly what you're talking about, and it goes fast. Not to be so cliche, but that clock spins so quickly. I remember what it was like when we got our first home. It is scary, and it's different, but it's awesome. Now, I mentioned there's a lot that I want to talk to you about, including your great rookie season and getting ready for year two. But before we get to that, you are hosting a three-part interview series called Hear Me Out. How did that come to be, and why was that something you wanted to pursue?
You know, I just felt like, you know, there's defining moments in our history. If you look back, and it seemed like, you know, 2020 has just been a tough year for everybody. If you just look back at everything that's taken place, I think it speaks for itself. But it really felt something I've been passionate about my entire life is justice and justice reform. And it felt like to me, you know, we had come to another junction point of the fight for equality in America. And I certainly didn't want to miss the moment. And it seemed like conversations were happening. And, you know, my inspirations and hope for the three-part series is kind of self-explanatory, just to hear each other out. You know, I believe empathy is the key ingredient and the engine that can move about change and stir about change in people's hearts. And so I was like, shoot, if we can just learn to, you know, be less quick to give our opinion and maybe more quick to listen to the pain in others' voice, even if, you know, that's something we haven't experienced before in our life, then, you know, I'll take the time to bring on friends of mine to share their perspectives. And so hopefully, you know, whatever my sphere of influence is, it's empowering and encouraging, you know, conversations to happen at the community level. And I think that was really the idea behind doing it.
Good for you. Drew Tranquil is joining us. You mentioned bringing your friends on. The first guest on your show is Jalen Smith, and the topic is the role of racial education in racial reconciliation. You know, one of your first questions to Jalen was to ask him where his head is at right now and what's on his mind these days. Let me turn that back on you. What's on your mind over the last few weeks in the wake of the killing of George Floyd?
Yeah, it's been, I mean, my wife and I, and she can attest to this, it's been really burdensome to us. It's been, you know, the topic really of conversation in our home, you know, over the course of the last month. And specifically, you know, how have we, you know, perpetuated this problem, or, you know, maybe made our friends' experience here in America, you know, not as well as ours, whether that's through our silence or through not speaking up and in inopportune times. And so it's something that's just been heavy on my heart. And so I've been reaching out, you know, to close friends of mine. And I think that's a big point to think about is, you know, you don't have to reach out to famous people or people of high influence to make a change. Really, it can start at your community level and the friends that are in your school and the friends that are on your team, that are in, you know, the band with you or whatever, you know, sphere that you're in, you know, doing, you know, those conversations can take place there, and hopefully that's what it's doing. And so my heart and, you know, head right now is just, how can we continue the conversation? Because it would be a shame to me if we had such an opportune time, and certainly it's in the wake of tragic, you know, deaths, and we don't need to lose sight of that, and we need to continue to mourn and support those families. But, you know, moments like these have certainly led to change here in America and worldwide, and it would be, you know, a shame if we miss the moment here, Jim.
All right, so who do you have on upcoming episodes, Drew, and what's the best way for people to find the conversations?
Yeah, so our next episode is going to be starring Corey Robinson, and, you know, Corey is somebody who the resume speaks for itself, but he was first and foremost just a teammate of mine and a good friend at Notre Dame. You know, a guy who potentially, you know, there was talk about him being a first, second-round draft pick, and he chose to stop playing football for, you know, sports-related injury reasons and ended up pursuing art, and now he's a, you know, TV sports broadcaster with NBC. And so just somebody who's very, very intelligent and very, very well-spoken and well-thought-out, and he'll be part two of the series. And then lastly is just a mentor of mine growing up. His name is Michael Lito, founder and CEO of Rise Sports Advisors, and, you know, has just meant a lot to me. And so another close friend of mine, mentor of mine, and he'll be sharing in part three of the series. And, you know, you can find the series available on all the platforms, IG, Twitter, you know, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube. So anywhere where you can possibly think to stream videos, they'll be available, and you can certainly listen in and hear the awesome perspectives and points of views that these young men have towards the road to racial reconciliation here in America.
Good stuff, Drew. Drew Tranquil joining us. Now, before I let you go, it seemed like last season, as it wore on, your role kept getting bigger and bigger. The team kept giving you more and more opportunities and more responsibilities. So how do you explain your ability to show up in your first season when the game is supposed to be too fast and you're supposed to need time to adjust from college to the NFL, yet you've already established yourself as somebody who could play in the NFL at the top level at multiple positions? How are you able to accelerate that learning curve?
Well, I was fortunate to have guys who had experienced it, and Thomas Davis, Denzel Perryman, you know, Jatavius Brown. We had guys in our locker room, and I specifically point to Thomas Davis, who, you know, is entering his 17th season now, and guys who had just done it, and they taught me early on how to establish a routine and get my body ready to peak on Sundays and be ready to perform, not only physically, but, you know, mentally, and have the capabilities to be prepared for what I might, you know, face on a given Sunday. And, you know, I really have to credit that to their leadership and then my ability to, you know, have the discipline to implement that routine and execute on it on a day-to-day basis. But it really came down to just, you know, trusting my training and trusting the road that has gotten me to where I, you know, am today. And I credit that to my faith. I credit that to, you know, just the discipline of day in and day out and hard work and being coachable and listening and looking to the leadership that has gone before you and then acting and being a leader yourself. And so there were a lot of key ingredients I think went to it, but, you know, certainly we didn't have the season we wanted to, and hopefully, you know, we can rebound this year and have a stronger season as a team.
You know, before I let you go, speaking of discipline, you were recently tweeting pics of what you eat in a day. It's pretty clear you're a very clean eater. You're going for premium fuel. For those who do not know, what's a normal day of eating like for you?
Yeah, I mean, I try to eat as clean as I can so that I can, you know, perform to the best of my abilities, and I'm certainly looking for competitive advantages wherever I can. You know, I gotta tell you, Jim, my go-to in the morning is this recipe my wife and I have coined, and specifically she coined as protein pancakes, and they just consist of egg whites, oats, and a banana, and they're actually really delicious. You throw a little bit of peanut butter and some sugar-free syrup on there, and you're rolling. After that, I typically do, you know, a shake after my workouts, and, you know, lunch and an afternoon snack and dinner. And depending on, you know, what my activity level was during the day, sometimes I sneak in, you know, an extra meal after dinner before bed. But typically it's just my standard bowl of Kashi cereal with my almond and cashew milk, which I love too. So, you know, it's pretty regimented. People think, you know, physically training is one of the more difficult things to be a professional athlete, but the nutritional side of things and the consistency of it and trying to stay regimented is very, very difficult when you look at the food prep, the time it takes to make the meals and consume them, and it can be a very time-consuming part of your day for sure.
Oh, 100%. That's why I asked the question, and I know that protein pancake. We do that in my family, so I know exactly what you're
really?
Talking about. Yes.
That's too cool.
Same thing. I love them. I know exactly what you're talking about. One last thing. In terms of regimentation, before the draft, you and I talked about cold showers. Still one of my favorite topics. Are you still doing them, and do you find them as valuable as you did?
I do. I do cold showers. I'll typically do some type of cold water therapy, whether it's a cold shower, whether I have a chance to make it out in the ocean and catch some waves. And so if I get a surfing session in, or if I get out in the waves, typically I'll reward myself with a warm shower at night. But if I don't have the opportunity to make it out either in the cold tub or the ocean, I'll discipline myself with some cold showers. So I still love that cold water routine for sure.
I was going to say, Drew, is it to reduce inflammation, or is it for mental toughness, or both?
I think it's certainly a combination. I think at first it's obviously to reduce inflammation, but there's also a mental toughness component when you look at just the discipline to actually engage and do it on a daily basis. It's certainly something that's not comfortable, and we talk about all the time in our locker room with Coach Gus Bradley. He says, you know, when you're uncomfortable and you have great spirit, it can lead to great growth. And so just try to do it day in and day out, and hopefully over the long haul it leads to good results.
That's a great line. And now we're all caught up. He's a linebacker for the LA Chargers, their second leading tackler with 75 tackles. I would encourage you to check out his three-part interview series, Hear Me Out, on all the social media platforms. Drew, great to get caught up. Much respect to you, and it's always good to have you on this show.
Yeah, Jim, it's always great talking to you. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for doing that, Drew. That was great. I'm really impressed, as always. Drew Tranquil. Notre Dame guys always show up like that. Not quite like that. They don't get much better than that.